This broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to another edition of the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. In 2009, the U.S. Postal Service collected, sorted, and delivered more than 177 billion pieces of mail. Finding more sustainable ways to process this mail and lower the carbon footprint of such a massive effort continues to be a central goal of the U.S. Postal Service. With us to discuss his efforts in this area is our very special guest, Sam Pulcrano, Vice President of Sustainability within the U.S. Postal Service. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Michael, for having me here today.
Also joining our conversation is Bill Takis, IBM's U.S. Postal Service industry leader. Bill, welcome.
Thank you.
Sam, I'd like to start off by understanding the organization. Most folks obviously know the U.S. Postal Service, but could you give us a brief overview of the history and evolution of the U.S. Postal Service?
Sure. The Postal Service as it exists today is an independent government agency. We began in 1971, and we've been around since the birth of our country. We go back to 1775, when the Second Continental Congress first determined that we needed a postal service, and the Post Office Department was born at that time. Benjamin Franklin was our first Postmaster General. And today, the Postal Service is governed by 11-member Board of Governors, nine of which are appointed by the President of the United States. And then two management members, our Postmaster General, Jack Potter, and our Deputy Postmaster General and Chief Operating Officer, Pat Donahoe, are also members.
When you get a chance to look at the size of your operation, could you give us an overview of how it's organized, the size of its budget, the number of full-time employees?
Sure. The Postal Service is a self-supporting organization. As I already mentioned, we're an independent government agency. We receive absolutely no tax dollars. We totally rely on the sale of our products, our stamps, generate revenue for our operating expenses. Our annual revenue now is about $68 billion, and we deliver nearly half of the world's mail. Most people don't know that, but we deliver half of the world's mail, and we deliver in the United States to 150 million residential and business addresses each and every day. We've got a little less than 600,000 employees and 36,000 retail locations across the country. And a fact that we're very proud of is that we're the most trusted government agency for five consecutive years in a row, and the sixth most trusted business in the nation, as determined by the Ponemon Institute.
Well, and what a fascinating scope of the organization that you have there. But could you tell us a little bit more about your specific role, Sam, and in particular, your role as the Vice President for Sustainability at the Postal Service?
Yes, Bill. My current position was established in May of 2008. And at the same time when I was announced, we announced the formation of the Office of Sustainability. What I'm responsible for is unifying and pulling together the Postal Service's sustainability efforts across all of the business units within our organization and across the organization as a whole. I have three managers which have very small staffs, since really our job is to coordinate, facilitate, and integrate activities across the business unit. So we really don't own any particular part of the business. So we're very focused on working with them. Now, our business units themselves, I'm pleased to say, are very engaged in our green efforts. So whether it's operations, supply management, IT, or our marketing folks, they're already very engaged in our green activities. And our job is just to pull it all together, coordinate, tell our corporate story, which you've seen in our annual report that we provided to you today.
it's also a relatively new role, right? My understanding is that you've been in this position for a couple of years, but before that it wasn't a strategic objective of the Postal Service, and now it is.
Well, the way it was before, in my former position, I was the Director of Safety and Environmental Management. So we handled a lot of the environmental activities for the organization. And as a result, some of the sustainability concepts we managed. But by bringing it to the vice president level now, we've raised it to a new level, and we have more of this coordination across the organization role.
What would you say are some of the major challenges? Maybe if you could tell us about the top three challenges that you have in your organization.
Well, I would bring it down to two challenges. And a lot of it really isn't necessarily related to the sustainability effort, but it's been related to the economic environment that the world is in right now. There's two very key areas that we've been focused on. First and foremost, of course, is can we find some new ways of growing revenue for the organization? So we've been exploring things like mailback opportunities. And by mailback, I mean we're piloting in 1,500 post offices, providing prepaid postage envelopes for people to mail back their small electronics, cell phones, PDAs, etc., where they get properly recycled. And then another area that we've been exploring is in Maine. We've had a pilot where we're working with the University of Maine, State of Maine, EPA, and the DEA to mail back unused pharmaceuticals, one, to keep them out of the hands of teenagers and others, as well as keep them out of the landfill and out of the water supply. The other area, of course, that's of significant importance to us is reducing our costs and being as efficient and lean as possible. We had a significant drop in mail volume in 2009 of about 26 billion pieces in a single year, significant drop in revenue in a very short time period. So we had to react very quickly to reduce costs. So in the sustainability side, we did that by establishing green teams, and they focus on some very specific areas to become more efficient and reduce overall costs to the organization.
Sam, you've outlined your role. You've outlined some of the challenges you're facing. What about you? Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are now?
Yeah, I have almost 35 years with the Postal Service, and it's been a wonderful career. I started out, like many postal managers in our organization, at the craft level. I started out in 1975 as a mail handler. I eventually went into management, started out as an acting supervisor, which is very common for many of us. And then worked through various levels of the organization. Primarily, I've been in human resources and labor relations for many years. That's most of my career. In 1995, I received my first executive appointment. I was an area HR manager in what was then, it's like a region, that you guys would know it as a region, but it was our Allegheny area. We covered about four states. And then came back to headquarters, worked in labor relations, working with a couple of our largest unions for a few years, moved over into safety, ultimately became the director of safety and environmental performance, and then was promoted into this current vice presidential position.
So with all that wealth of experience, what is an effective leader in your mind?
Well, I think an effective leader has to have and develop a vision and a set of goals. And also, very importantly, is you have to be able to communicate that vision and goals throughout the organization to employees at every level and get them engaged in order for you to be successful. Of course, I also believe that it's essential that you surround yourself with excellent people who can get the work done and know what your vision is and are able to carry that forth. And also, by coming through the organization and working at multiple levels and having different jobs over time, I've also learned what things work within the organization. I know the culture, and I know how the business operates. And I also learned some things of what not to do that you should sort of stay away from. And then lastly, I think you have to very, very diligently recognize and reward successes and good performance throughout the organization that are helping you achieve your vision and your overall success.
With your current role, you mentioned earlier that you don't have ownership necessarily, so collaboration really is important. How has your current role changed the way you lead?
You've hit right on it, Michael. It very clearly, I spend a tremendous amount of time collaborating, working with other business units. We develop a lot of cross-organizational and cross-functional teams, and it's work teams and project teams to get things done. And that's a little bit different than having a business unit ownership where you make the decisions, you decide what you're going to do within your specific respective function. In this, it's much more of a collaborative nature and a cooperative nature. As I said, the way I define it is we're there to facilitate and integrate within the organization.
What is the U.S. Postal Service's sustainability strategy? We will ask Sam Polcrano, Vice President of Sustainability within the U.S. Postal Service, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour. Whether it's the federal government's role in emergency management, its efforts in making operations more sustainable, responsible, and efficient, or the challenges being faced and innovations being forged by local governments during difficult economic times, the Spring 2010 edition of the Business of Government magazine offers timely, relevant, and thoughtful perspectives on all of these issues from leading practitioners and public managers. Hi, I'm Michael Keegan, managing editor of the Business of Government magazine, and we know it's all about making connections, introducing our readers and connecting them to the work of government executives who are leading agencies or initiatives that are focused on critical missions, missions important to them. In our latest edition of the Spring 2010 Business of Government magazine, we bring you conversations with FEMA Administrator Craig Fugate, who talks to us about the challenges facing his agency. Michelle Moore, Federal Environmental Executive, outlines sustainability efforts in greening federal operations. And Robert Doerr, Commissioner of the New York City Human Resources Administration, sheds light on how his agency is doing more with less. Our forum is dedicated to exploring ways government leaders and all leaders can make better decisions. All of this and so much more in the Spring 2010 edition of the Business of Government magazine. Order your free copy at businessofgovernment.org and find out how the business of government is not business as usual. Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and today's conversation is with Sam Polcrano, Vice President of Sustainability within the U.S. Postal Service. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Bill Takis. Sam, the Postal Service has been at the forefront of the so-called green movement even before it had a name. Would you give us a brief history of the Postal Service's sustainability journey since its inception till today as a sustainability leader? And more importantly, what are the overarching goals that frame your current efforts?
Sure, Michael. We've always been a leader in using alternative fuel-capable vehicles and recycling in those arenas. In fact, we had the first electric vehicle. We tested that back in 1895, believe it or not, in Buffalo, New York. And we've been testing electric vehicles for almost 100 years now. Today, we have the largest alternative fuel-capable vehicle fleet in the world. And about 40,000 of those are ethanol fuel capable as well. But I think what's important is because of our size and because we touch every community, it's essential and we have an obligation to embrace green ways of doing business. And it's our objective as an organization to ultimately become known as a world-class sustainability leader. And we also are very focused on continuing to adopt sustainable ways of improving and doing our business to create a long-term value for our customers, our employees, and all of the communities that we serve. Now, to our goals, we follow the federal mandates or several laws and executive orders that have defined goals for the federal sector, some that we voluntarily comply with. But for us, corporately, we have a goal of reducing our facility energy 30% by 2015, our petroleum fuel use 20% by 2015, also increasing our alternative fuel use 10% by 2015. And we recently, last year, set our own corporate goal of reducing our greenhouse gas emissions 20% by 2020.
Well, Sam, the Postal Service, my understanding is that the Postal Service was the very first government agency to report its greenhouse emissions and really the first to ever receive third-party verification of all the results. I had two questions for you around this. And first, would you mind outlining for us the greatest contributors to the carbon footprint within the postal industry, you know, and how that evolves from the Postal Service? And then second, would you mind telling us a little bit more about how the Postal Service developed this report and how what methods it's using to assess the greenhouse gas emissions?
Yes, Bill. What we did was we did our first greenhouse gas assessment for the year 2007. And we worked with the California Climate Action Registry, which I'm sure you all know is a leader in greenhouse gas emissions reporting. And they assisted us with developing and publishing our first study and also helping us independently have a third-party certification of that study. Now, overall, our contract transportation, of course, represents our largest carbon emissions. That's about 52%. About another 36% comes from our facility emissions, and surprisingly, only 12% comes from our actual postal-owned vehicles. Now, our overall direct emissions totaled 5.3 million metric tons of carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide, but I'd like to put that in some perspective for you. That's basically 1/20 of 1% of the total greenhouse gas emissions in America, and if you use some of the EPA analysis, that's roughly equivalent to 1 million gasoline cars driving an average of 12,000 miles a year.
So going green may make good environmental sense. But how does going green and employing a formal sustainability program make good business sense and help reduce operational costs?
That's an excellent question, Michael. I mean, our sustainability projects are clearly making a positive impact on the environment, but they're also helping us as an organization save money. So by having goals to reduce our energy and fuel use, that helps us keep our cost under control, as well as helping us continue to provide our trusted service that Americans expect. Our mission is to provide universal service at affordable rates, so that helps us achieve that. And many of our green initiatives, we're focused on what we call no cost or low cost, but they impact the bottom line. So things like turning off the lights when they're not in use, turning off your computer monitors, adjusting the thermostats to required temperatures that we want in our particular facilities. All of those things help contribute to that.
Sam, could you tell us about any of your recycling programs? Are you expanding on those?
Absolutely. Actually, we have a slogan. We call it reduce, reuse, and recycle. And it's becoming much more than just a slogan to us within the Postal Service. It's actually becoming a way of us doing our business. One of the things we're very proud of, and we're continuing to grow this particular program, is we have secure lobby recycling in 8,000 post offices, and we're going to continue to grow that. And what that means is those of our customers that use a post office box, they're able to come into the lobby, take their mail out of the box, go to our counter, separate the mail, take the mail that they want to keep and act upon, and then place the mail that they want to dispose of securely and safely in a locked container in that lobby. And then we take that product and then we recycle it, and we actually make some money on that. We make about $10 to $11 million a year in the lobby recycling and other recycling of mail that we collect within our organization. So last year, we recycled about 270,000 tons of paper, plastics, and other waste. That is a decrease in greenhouse gas emissions of approximately 1.67 million barrels of oil, for example, just to put it in some context. The other thing we're doing is we're growing our online transactions. If you go to our green website, usps.com, we have a little calculator up in the right-hand corner that we call the Skip the Trip. And by using our online products and services, you can have your mail picked up. You can arrange for carrier pickup. We call it click and ship and other online services. Last year in 2009, that grew an additional 13%. And what that means is our customers now are making fewer trips to the post office, therefore reducing their greenhouse gases and their fuel use as well.
We understand that since 2003, the Postal Service has been very successful in reducing its overall building-related energy costs, I mean, almost up to 19% of reduction in consumption there. With that many facilities you talked about before, over 30,000 facilities, and one of the largest construction programs in the nation, could you tell us a little bit of how you achieved that reduction in your facilities and describe your efforts to build an operating performance and sustainable buildings that are life cycle cost effective?
Yeah. Well, it's two or three key initiatives. First and foremost, about 3+ years ago, our facilities group led by Tom Sammer, who's our vice president, they set a plan in place to go out and do comprehensive energy audits of all of our largest facilities in our facility fleet. And then based on those energy audits, made determinations of what capital improvements they would invest in to improve the energy efficiency of each and every one of the single facilities. As a result, as you mentioned, Bill, we've achieved a 19% reduction in our overall building-related energy use. As I mentioned before, not only is that good for the environment in reducing our emissions, but it's also significantly affected the bottom line. That equates to about $150 million of avoided energy cost each and every year. And then in addition to that, we completely revised how we design and build new buildings so that they are more energy efficient. So it's required to have a sustainable building design, that they are have use energy efficient lighting and HVAC system, low water use fixtures. We use native plant, zero landscaping or Xerox landscaping at our facilities to ensure that we're helping the environment in every way. We're also continuing to explore other alternative forms of energy. So, you know, we have already an array of solar photovoltaic systems. We also have geothermal HVAC systems. So where the price point and the return on the investment is appropriate, we continue to look for opportunities to improve in those particular areas.
I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about just a fascinating program that we learned about recently, and that's the Postal Service's successes in developing New York City's largest green roof. Could you tell our listeners a little bit more about what greenery is on that roof and how you came to do it and what have been the results of that?
Yeah, this is just a great story. This is one of our facility's largest environmental projects to date. As you said, Bill, it's the largest green roof in Manhattan. It's nearly 2.5 acres. They started construction in September of 2008, and they completed it in July of last year. And I might say they completed it within budget, something we always like to do. Knew that would cause a little chuckle there. We also have a very cool time-lapse video if you're ever interested in looking at it. We call it the 1 year and 20 seconds. And if you go to our green website at USPS.com, Tom Green, you'll be able to take a look at it there. But more importantly, the facts are that 90% of the former roof was recycled and reused in the current roof. The roof itself, we expect it to last about 50 years. That's almost twice the lifespan of a normal roof of a building of that type. It's also, once again, causing energy reduction in cost, and also reducing our cost. We're projecting that it's going to reduce our heating and cooling costs because of its great insulative factors, about $30,000 a year. And also, it has a great environmental effect. It reduces the water runoff into the New York City municipal water system, 75% reduction in the summer and 40% reduction in the winter. It's also what we like is that it's created this wonderful environment. Our employees are allowed to go up there on their breaks and their lunch period. We have 14 benches made of Brazilian ipy wood that is certified sustainable by the Forest Stewardship Council. And the other thing that I think is a fact that's critically important is that 59% of the green roof surface is vegetation and plants that are native to the Northeast area.
Sam, I just had a follow-up real quick on that. I was wondering, could you give us sort of an insight on how that roof was chosen? What were the decisions that went into making this happen? But more importantly, are there plans to do it anywhere else?
There are some very key factors. One of the reasons that roof was chosen was because of the structure of that facility. When it was built of iron steel girders, and it was able to support the weight that goes along with those types of green roofs. So that's one of the primary reasons. And also that, you know, where its location, where it was, et cetera. So, yes, and our people are looking at, our facilities group is looking at where we might have some additional green roofs. But as I mentioned, one of the key factors is what was the construction. Will it support that particular type of weight? And there's some other factors that they take into consideration as well.
With nearly 217,000 vehicles that are an average of 18 years old, the Postal Service has focused much of its efforts on reducing fuel consumption while identifying efficient transportation options. But would you tell us about your efforts in this area? How are you expanding the use of alternative fuel vehicles, leveraging low-energy mail delivery methods like Fleet of Feet? And a little bit about your research and development in these areas, because I understand you folks are actually a leader in research and development.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Another part of our story is the great job that our engineering group does in that particular area. They actually have a vehicle lab that they study these types of vehicles. But let me put it in context first. We have a very large fleet. We have about 210,000 vehicles that are out there on the road each and every business day. You see the ubiquitous postal truck in your neighborhood each and every day. And as I already said, about 44,000 of them are alternative fuel-capable vehicles. We're very focused, as I mentioned, on increasing the use of our alternative fuel. So we're testing every type of vehicle there is, natural gas, CNG, hydrogen fuel cell, etc. In fact, we're even testing some unique three-wheel vehicles that are called T3s. We've even built a little trailer for the carrier to haul his or her mail for their particular routes. We're testing them in California, Arizona, and Florida. They cost about 2 cents a mile to recharge and to operate, and they have a range of about 40 miles. And they've been a wonderful media story because they're so unique that everybody that seems to see them likes to hear the story about them. The other thing that we're testing is a hydrogen fuel cell. We've been in a partnership. We're now testing 2 fourth-generation hydrogen fuel cell Chevrolet Equinox vehicles. That's a partnership that we have with General Motors. And the funding is coming from, as another partner, the U.S. Department of Energy. We've had one that delivers mail every day, every single day, and has done so since 2006. And we now have a second fuel cell vehicle here in the Washington area that came here late last fall. The other thing that we're doing is our engineering group just announced a contract to take that postal vehicle that you see every day and convert that to electric. 5 companies have bid on that particular project. Each one is going to create an electric motor platform and battery platform. We should have those vehicles sometime later this summer for us to go out and test. And as you mentioned, Michael, we're very proud of the fact that we also deliver a lot of mail without the use of petroleum fuel vehicles. We have bicycle routes in several states, Arizona and Florida are examples. They save, just those bicycles alone, save about 15,000 gallons of gasoline a year. But we also have a large walking fleet. They use no gasoline vehicles to deliver whatsoever. Their mail is relayed and put in boxes for them. But we have 9,000 routes where they actually walk the entire route. And 80,000 of our routes are what we call park and loop routes. They drive into your neighborhood. This is probably what you see in your residential neighborhood. They park the vehicle, and then they get out and they walk a loop around the neighborhood and around the cul-de-sacs, go back to the vehicle, move it to another park point, get out and walk again. So that, you know, significant amount of reduction in potential greenhouse gas emissions by the nature of those types of route setups.
How do sustainability programs improve operations? We will ask Sam Polcrano, Vice President of Sustainability within the U.S. Postal Service, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour. How is TRICARE delivering a consistent, equitable, and cost-efficient pharmacy benefit to our troops and their families? What science and technology research is being done at the Naval Surface Warfare Center? And how can the use of analytics and risk management lead to better decisions? Pick up the spring 2010 edition of the Business of Government magazine and find out. The latest edition of the Business of Government magazine provides insights from Rear Admiral Thomas McGinnis, who leads DOD's Pharmacy Benefit Program, and Rear Admiral James Shannon, commander of the Naval Surface Warfare Center. Tom Davenport, author of Competing on Analytics, The New Science of Winning, kicks off our forum with an in-depth conversation on the strategic importance of analytics, how government can leverage analytics, and the ways to improve decision-making using analytics. All of this and so much more in the Spring 2010 edition of the Business of Government magazine. Order your free copy at businessofgovernment.org. Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and today's conversation is with Sam Palcrano, Vice President of Sustainability within the U.S. Postal Service. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Bill Takis. Now, Sam, the Postal Service works closely with the International Postal Corporation, or IPC, a cooperative association of 24 postal operators in Europe, North America, and Asia. Would you tell us more about IPC's environmental measurement and monitoring system pilot?
Yes, Michael, and we're pleased to be part of that particular initiative. In 2008, the International Postal Corporation developed and piloted what they call the Environmental Measurement and Monitoring System. And of course, in postal services, we all love acronyms, the EMMS. And what that does is that provides for the membership to have a common carbon measurement and reporting framework. So we're all baselining our carbon emissions and then also having a standard reporting format and ways of measuring it going forward so we can see what our accomplishments are. So it's a very interesting tool, and it focuses in a couple areas. First, we, of course, each year have to provide all of our data to the IPC, and they input it into the system. It generates a scorecard, and it covers two key elements. The first comprises 10 management proficiency areas. So what are you doing in the areas of programs and policy and reporting and goal setting? And then the second component of it is the carbon performance data itself. And what are those emission figures and what's your performance across 20 different indicators? So in the area of the postal business, for example, we're looking at what's our performance against pieces of letter mail, parcels, express mail, priority mail, et cetera. So it's actually very specific to our industry.
Sam, there's been a lot of discussion in the press lately about the Postal Service transitioning to a five-day mail delivery schedule and essentially eliminating Saturday delivery some other day. And there's been a lot of reasons that have been discussed about why the Postal Service would move in that direction. Can you talk to us a little bit about how going to a five-day delivery schedule could benefit the Postal Service sustainability efforts?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Bill. Well, five-day by its very nature, because you'll be not delivering on a Saturday, will have a significant reduction in our vehicle use and our fuel use for that particular day. And it's a fairly significant number. But let me first make clear that we can't do anything at all unless Congress gives us approval. Always have to get that in there. By reducing that one day, by our own estimates, if you just take 1/6 of our fuel use, and of course, this is just a rough number, you'd have to convert to different types of alternative fuels and everything. It's almost 24 million gallons of reduction in a single year. And that equates to about 315 to 530,000 metric tons of greenhouse gases in a year. And to put that in perspective, once again, that's equivalent to about 60,000 or 95,000 gasoline-powered passenger cars being taken off the road.
And there's cost savings to the Postal Service as well.
Absolutely. We're estimating that it's around $3.1 billion.
Well, on another topic, technology and automation, I know, are very integral to what the Postal Service has done for many, many years. And we were wondering if you could talk to us a little bit about your efforts on pursuing green computing and programs like that.
Yeah, absolutely. This is another area where our business units are leading. Our IT group has done a wonderful job in the past couple of years in helping us in our sustainability initiatives. A number of things that they've done. For example, all of our printers, all of our systems printers in the Postal Service have now been converted so that they print on double-sided and only in black and white. If you want single-sided or color, you have to actually go in and request that to get that. That's a significant change. Just a single piece of paper, for example, color print roughly is around 6 to 8 cents, depending on the amount of toner that's used, whereas a black and white copy is like a penny and a half. So significant savings in an organization our size. The other thing that they've done is they just very recently, this past fall, implemented what we call a sleep on land software. We, because of the size of our organization, have to maintain the security of our internet and intranet and everything. So we were leaving systems on. What this does is it puts many of the computers basically to sleep. And then if there's some sort of a security breach or issue, they wake the computers back up, they load the security patch, and then the system puts them back to sleep. They're implementing that on about 60,000 units right now. So we're very pleased with the power saving that's associated there. The other thing they've done is they've now, this past year, taken out 5,000 of the old CRT monitors and replaced them with thin film transistor monitors, much more energy efficient. And of course, we're out there publicizing and advertising that when you go home at night, turn off your monitor, also to help us reduce our energy. And as you can imagine, we have some very large IT data centers. They're in Eagan and San Mateo, and they replaced over 3,000 servers with what's known as blade servers. They've reduced from 3,000 to 650 of these blade-type servers. That saved us about $1.7 million, of which $366,000 was solely related to reducing our energy costs. And the other aspects of that savings is related in a reduction in the end-of-life cost for recycling those types of servers as opposed to the other ones.
So you're seeing both a reduction in cost to you, environmental impacts, as well as better performance out of the systems as well.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been doing a wonderful job.
Could you also tell us, so you mentioned before a little bit about the use of your green teams within the Postal Service. Could you tell us a little bit more about what they are, what they have to do, and how they're leveraging things like Lean Six Sigma methods to identify cost savings or even cost avoidance opportunities?
Started piloting them a little over a year ago. And of course, we started, since you always want to be in a leadership position, we started with the headquarters building, which houses about 3,000 employees. So we created this cross-organizational green team made up of representatives from maintenance, IT, operations, supply management, et cetera. And we decided to focus in five key areas. So they focus on reducing energy use, lowering our petroleum vehicle use for that particular facility's vehicles, improving water efficiency, reducing the purchase of supplies, and also we're working on going to a zero-waste environment to reduce our solid waste cost as well and increasing our recycling revenues. So they focus on those five goals. We had great results. We expanded that to our 8 regional offices, we call them area offices, and in just 1 year, they were able to achieve a little over $5 million savings in just 9 buildings alone, just 9 buildings. So we saw great results. We're now rolling them out to our areas, and we just completed the Southeast. We've rolled it out into the 8 districts in the Southeast, and we're now moving over to our Pacific area to roll it out into their districts. And then those green teams are also going into some of their largest facilities and establishing teams and where they see a good bang for the buck. And as you mentioned, Bill, we're focused on Lean Six Sigma is how we're driving our performance. Lean focuses on reducing waste and improving the process flows, while the Six Sigma aspect of that concentrates on reducing variation and defects and improving the quality. So when you put those two together, you get a wonderful result. So we're very pleased. We're looking forward to what the rollout is. Our plan is to roll it out to all 80 of our districts across the United States within the next 2 years.
That's wonderful. Sam, reducing waste is central to becoming more sustainable. And I understand that the Postal Service generates about an estimate of 400,000 metric tons of municipal waste. Would you tell us more about your integrated waste management program?
I'm pleased to say that our environmental group and human resources group for Hoota Report are really working at integrating our waste management program across our facility inventory. So when we look at the things that they're doing now, in 2009, our employees reduced the amount of municipal solid waste generated by 7% compared to 2008. In 2009, we actually recycled 51% of our solid waste. The president's new executive order is targeting 50%, so we've already exceeded that particular goal. The other thing that we've done is last year we increased the amount of recycled or reused electronics by 73% last year. So we're very pleased with those results. In 2009, we generated an estimated 455 metric tons of municipal solid waste. And as I mentioned, we recycled a little over half of that. So we're really doing well. The other thing that we've done now is I mentioned this zero waste concept. Last year, we rolled that out and piloted it in 19 facilities. And this year, we've already got 9 of our vehicle maintenance facilities, average recycling rates. VMFs have achieved 92%, and the plants have achieved 87%. So just that other part now is solid waste going to landfills. So really a great improvement.
So with the leading by example is really what you've described for us today, and the Postal Service is actually doing that from all the statistics you've offered us. I wanted to know, how is the Postal Service helping its customers with better eco-friendly choices? And how does the cradle-to-cradle certification factor into this effort?
Well, I'm pleased to say, Michael, that we're leading the mailing industry right now through our green certification of our products. We are the first and the only shipping or mailing company that's earned cradle-to-cradle certification for its environmentally friendly design and the health standards of our priority mail and our express mail products, as well as when you go into the post office now, what we call the ready post envelopes and the mailing supplies, all of them have now been cradle to cradle certified as well. And they're 100% recyclable. So in 2009, just as an example to give you some idea of the context of the volume, we provided nearly a billion cradle to cradle certified mailing supplies to our customers last year alone.
Could you elaborate on what goes into getting that certification?
Yeah, it's really an exhaustive process. So, for example, the priority mailbox, it literally gets into breaking down every single component that goes into making every part of that box. So how is the cardboard made? What are the raw products that go into making that cardboard? The ink, what are the chemicals that go into the ink? We actually had changed some inks as a result. So you go to more environmentally friendly products. I mean, it goes through every single detail. It's a chemical analysis, and it's fairly exhaustive. But we did it actually without increasing our cost. So we were very pleased with the result of that, and we're going to continue moving forward in that area. In fact, we're working right now to actually get our stamps cradle-to-cradle certified.
Oh, interesting. So you have around 600,000 employees, if not more. And the postal workforce is key to the success of any effort that you folks are pursuing. How are you engaging your employees to follow a culture of conservation?
Well, as I mentioned before, and when we talked about leadership, is you really got to get your employees engaged, and your success is dependent on them accepting your vision and moving that forward for you as an organization. So, as I mentioned, we've established the green teams. We're rolling them out to all the districts in our 8 different areas using the Lean Six Sigma methods. But let me just give you some results of what some of the offices have done already. In the Eastern Area office, that green team, for example, last year reduced its petroleum use 21%. In the Southeast Area green team, they reduced their energy use at their facility 7% this past year. So, as I said, we're seeing real results in these particular areas. The other things that we've done is we've created in our intranet a green website that our employees can access. We're sharing all these best practices so that the teams don't really have to recreate or reinvent the wheel. They can go on site and see what the other teams have done, take that practice and just implement it within their respective facilities so you get a quick return on your time and your investment. Last year on Earth Day, we launched what we call the New Green Newsroom. It's a library of the Postal Service's green news, history, and information. We also have the green website that's on USPS.com so that our customers in the mailing industry can access. And we've got all kinds of tips that you can use either as a mailer to green your particular mailing product or that our customers can use to also improve their environmental impact. We also have fairly significant events around Energy Day and Earth Day at our headquarters unit and across the organization. Various number of our facilities also do that. So we've been driving this, and the nice part of this is our employees are getting engaged and are very engaged, and our success overall will depend a lot on what they're able to do out there.
So there's a level of excitement among your employees on these issues.
Yeah, I think what I'm seeing, quite frankly, is that these are things that our employees can get very enthused about, and they resonate. These things resonate with them because they see this in their everyday world. And also, all these things that we do at work, many of them can be transferred to their at home. To improve their performance, whether it's energy at the home or their own recycling improvements in their municipalities as well.
What's the future of sustainability programs within the U.S. Postal Service? We will ask Sam Palcrano, Vice President of Sustainability within the U.S. Postal Service, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour. How can analytics and risk management lead to better decision-making? What is FEMA doing to forge a 21st century emergency response system? How is the federal government greening its operations? What are some of the opportunities and challenges facing those implementing a national health IT agenda? And how are state and local governments doing more with less? Pick up the latest edition of the Business of Government magazine and find out. We bring you insights and interviews from government executives who are changing the way government does business. Hear from FEMA Administrator Craig Fugate, Michelle Moore, the Federal Environmental Executive, Dr. David Blumenthal, National Coordinator for Health IT, Ambassador Elizabeth Frawley Bagley on the State Department's Global Partnership Initiative, all of this and so much more in the Spring 2010 edition of the Business of Government magazine. Order your free copy at businessofgovernment.org and find out how the business of government is not business as usual.
Listen next week for the Business of Government magazine, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. Hear from FEMA Administrator Craig Fugate, Federal Environment Executive Michelle Moore, Dr. David Blumenthal on Health IT, Rich Haley on Managing Financial Resources at the FBI, Professor Tom Davenport on Analytics and Making Better Decisions, and Alec Ross on Using Social Media to Advance U.S. Diplomatic Goals. All of this and more next week on the Business of Government magazine with host Michael Keegan.
Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and today's conversation is with Sam Palcrano, Vice President of Sustainability within the U.S. Postal Service. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Bill Takis. Sam, last October, President Obama signed Executive Order 13514, requiring federal executive agencies to increase their energy efficiency, reduce fleet petroleum consumption. Though the order doesn't apply to the Postal Service, what lessons can federal agencies learn from your efforts, and how are you working with federal agencies to educate them on your successes?
Well, we have volunteered to share with the other federal agencies what we've accomplished and how we've accomplished it. But we've learned a number of things. One, we've learned how important it is to establish goals and measure against those goals, improve your systems to support that measurement. And as a result, of course, to ultimately drive down your energy costs, drive down your greenhouse gas impact. The other thing that we learned was how to produce an annual sustainability corporate report. This is quite an undertaking, as I mentioned. And if you look at this year's annual report, 2009, you'll see that we've showcased by functional business unit what they've achieved. That takes a lot of coordination and effort, parsing out what parts of the story you're going to tell and how you're going to tell it and what data points you're going to use. We've also learned how to design and use public websites. So as I mentioned, our USPS.green website, and If you go to that website, you'll see that we change it up. At least 3 to 4 times a week, we go on and make changes. So the pictures that we may be showing, we have them changed up. We'll put whatever the latest and greatest news article is for the week. So it's always refreshed, and there's always something new for people to go to. We're very pleased to be in the position that we are working with the other federal agencies. You know, we're very much engaged with working with Michelle Moore, who I understand you've also had on the radio program, and driving forward President Obama's executive order to reduce energy and greenhouse gas initiatives. We take very seriously our role as a federal agency, as in a leadership position across the United States to do so.
Well, since 1995, Sam, the Postal Service has been honored and recognized with numerous awards, over 75 major environmental awards alone. And most recently, we understand that you won the 2009 Climate Action Champion Award. Given all this recognition that you've received and the successes that you've had, from your perspective, how do these past accomplishments really provide a guide for your future and your future successes?
Well, our employees are very proud of these accomplishments and the recognition that we've received. But our objective is to seek continuous improvement. So we always keep trying to raise the bar just another notch. And if you've heard some of the successes that I've mentioned already on the show, you can see that our employees are engaged and they're looking for ways to improve in the areas that they can. So we're very pleased with that particular result. But once again, as I mentioned in the very beginning of the show, we're a very large organization. We're in every community across America each and every day, and we need to be very focused and committed to achieving our environmental goals and objectives as an organization. I think our Postmaster General, John Potter, puts it the best. He says, quite simply, we want to be the best. We want to be the best neighbor. We want to be the best business partner. And we want to be one of the best places to work when it comes to sustainable business practices. So that's why we're going to continue to strive to just continue improving wherever we can.
Well, continuing on that theme of trying to be the best in the future, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges that you'll face in the future in the sustainability area? And really, how do you envision your office, your particular group, how do you envision that will evolve to meet those challenges?
Well, some of those challenges are quite frankly, for example, tracking our corporate-wide sustainability data. We're so large, 36,000 facilities, 210,000 vehicles. Sometimes it's difficult to get data together. So we have done some things to improve our data tracking systems. And also, as I mentioned, you know, integrating and coordinating across multiple business units in a large organization and multiple regions across the country, our sustainability initiatives and telling that story in a concise and accurate manner. We firmly believe that running your business in a sustainable way for us will enhance the value of the mail and enhance the value of the products that we provide to our customers. So we're going to continue to evolve to meet those challenges. We're going to continue to roll out and engage our employees and our green teams. We're going to continue moving the bar and seeking incremental improvements.
Sam, you've mentioned today in our conversation the 2009 sustainability report, and I'd like for you to sort of delve into it a little bit for us. As a reader, what will I find there? And are there any highlights that are in the 2009 report that we haven't talked about today?
Yeah, there are a couple excellent highlights, and all the credit goes to the respective business units that helped achieve these. But let me just give you some of the things that we're most proud of and we highlighted in the report. Since 2005, we've reduced our facility energy use 10.8 trillion British thermal units. That's a significant reduction. As I mentioned, you know, that's worth about $150 million in avoided costs per year. In fact, putting it in since 2007, that saved us $400 million. Another area is in our contracted fuel use. our business unit there, they've reduced that $314 million in 2009. And our human resources group, because they've changed so much of their activities from paper-based to online activities, so their hiring activity, for example, was extremely paper-based. Our case management for employees that were injured was very paper-based. They've gone to online systems. Just last year alone, they saved 10 million sheets and forms and taken that paper out of our system. Another thing that that we're really pleased is our engineering group. They took some customer barcode sorters that we were going to actually scrap and recycled them. They redesigned them and repurposed them into another piece of equipment that we can use on the workroom floor. And that saved us $70 million by updating those decommissioned machines to have another purpose. And that's just a wonderful story because, you know, all of that material and steel, you know, a lot of it we would have recycled, but, you know, some of it ultimately could have potentially ended up in a landfill. The other thing that we're very proud of is we've done a much better job of recycling our mail transport equipment. This is the stuff that we use to move the mail that, you know, it's on four wheels. We earned $2.4 million in income by improving how we recycled those products that were damaged and that we couldn't use any longer. So as I mentioned, we're going to continue to achieve our sustainability goals across our functions and our departments. We think we're building and laying a very solid foundation for our organization, our employees, and our customers by the activities that we're doing today and that we have planned over the next 2 to 3 years. So as I mentioned, as a federal agency, we're going to do everything we can to help green the government, and we want the public to know just how the Postal Service is going to continue to step up and continue to take action wherever and whenever we can.
It's wonderful. You've had an interesting and successful career with the Postal Service. What advice would you give to someone thinking about a career in public service?
Well, as I said, I have almost 35 years with the Postal Service. I will say it's been a very rewarding career. In those 35 years, I've never had a job that I didn't enjoy and that I didn't like. So that's something I'm not sure everybody can say. So that's a testament to, I guess, being in the federal sector. But if you're out there looking for a job, and right now the federal government is a great place to be employed. They have wonderful benefits. But you got to get out there and you got to do your research. You got to match your skills to the job for which you're applying. You need to match your expertise and with the agency that you're seeking employment with. And you want to learn all you can about that agency. And the best way, of course, is if you can be able to talk to people who already work there, who can tell you what the culture is like and what's expected of you as a potential employee. But the other thing I'd like to encourage anybody out there that I think sustainability is going to be a wonderful career. It's going to be one of those areas that's going to continue to grow over the years. And so I think this is an area that offers a lot of opportunity, not only in the federal sector, but also in the private sector as well, because everybody's got the same issues. Everybody's trying to reduce their energy. Everybody's trying to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. Everybody's trying to improve their bottom line. And this is a wonderful way to do that. So if you're really interested in seeking a green career in the public sector, you can look at us in the Postal Service. You know, you can go to our green website, usps.com green, and our green newsroom, and you can get some information about our sustainability practices that might help you make a decision whether or not you might apply for a job with the Postal Service.
Sam, that's terrific advice, and I want to thank you for joining us today. But more importantly, Bill and I would like to thank you for your dedicated efforts in making the U.S. Postal Service a model of environmental stewardship.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being here. And thank you very much, Bill and Michael, for allowing me the opportunity to tell our story.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Sam Palcrano, Vice President of Sustainability within the U.S. Postal Service. My co-host from IBM has been Bill Takis. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy Midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio 1500 AM, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics and your source for federal news now.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, President Obama says yes, the well may be capped, but it's too soon to pop the corks in celebration. No more oil is leaking from the Gulf of Mexico well blowout, but he says any of a number of things still could go wrong.
We won't be done until we actually know that we've killed the well and that we have a permanent solution in place. We're moving in that direction. But I don't want us to get too far ahead of ourselves.
BP continues to monitor well pressure to make sure it hasn't sprung any leaks. Britain's ambassador to the U.S. says the British government now believes the decision to release the convicted bomber of Pan Am Flight 103 was a mistake. The man was released last summer and returned to Libya to a hero's welcome. 270 people died in that bombing in 1988. Washington, D.C. area residents are all abuzz about this morning's earthquake. CNN's Dick Giuliano felt it, but says it was just a minor rattler.
The 3.6 magnitude earthquake was felt from Maryland into the city, across the river into Virginia. People were awakened by the rattling and the rumbling at 5:04 a.m. The U.S. Geologic Survey says the quake was centered in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
A fire at a hotel in northern Iraq.